Today, remember folks, buy low, sell high, especially now. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, go across to Europe, Asia, and then in Australia, and also cover commodities and crypto. This past week, once again, it was full of swings, up earlier, then down, and then an upswing on Friday, though still to end the week lower. It's worth recalling that to make money in stocks, the idea is to buy low and sell high. In recent times, we saw investors piling into already overexpensive tech stocks, essentially buying high and hoping for yet higher. Some of that is now reversing, and there is probably more to come. The US markets did get a boost at the end of the week, with key economic data bolstering speculation the Federal Reserve will set up the stage for a rate cut in September, as the volatility index slid 11% from recent highs. While every major group in the S&P 500 rose on bets that the start of the Fed easing cycle will indeed keep fueling the outlook for corporate America once again, smaller firms largely beat the cohort of tech mega caps, extending the July surge to about 10%. The S&P 500 closed 1.11% higher on Friday, the Dow was up 1.64%, and the Nasdaq rose 1.03%. The Russell 2000 of small caps climbed 1.65%, while the gauge of the Magnificent 7 mega caps added just 0.7%, while the S&P 500 financials rose up 1.49%. This week, even strong results from Alphabet left questions about when the high capex on AI would translate into revenue. And as reported in my earlier post, Tesla also took a dive on squeezed profits. Indeed, the rally in the biggest US technology stocks is at risk of fading further if the US economy continues to cool. That's according to Bank of America's Michael Harnett. He said signs of an economic slowdown would fuel a rotation into stocks that have lagged behind the pricey tech mega caps this year. In a note on Friday, Harnett said recent data suggests the global economy was ill and that we are one bad payroll away from big tech stocks losing their dominance. Though the S&P 500 is still about 5% below its all-time high, and it's up nearly 40% this year, some investors worry that Wall Street may have become too optimistic about earnings growth, leaving stocks vulnerable if companies are unable to meet expectations in coming months. An equal weight version of the S&P 500, where the likes of Nvidia carries the same heft as, say, Dollar Tree, is beating the US equity benchmark for its third straight week. That's a notable shift for the measure that's trailed the US equity benchmark for months, and it comes as optimism over eventual monetary easing is pushing investors away from the perceived safety of tech megacaps. Shares in Nvidia are up 0.69%, though they have tumbled more than 5% over the last five sessions, and they've lost nearly 10% over the last month. The company is expected to report its next quarterly results on August the 28th, but before that, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, and Meta are all due to report earnings next week, so expect some more fireworks. And talking of fireworks, 3M Co., the iconic maker of Post-it notes, shot up 22.99%, while drug maker Bristol Myers Squibb jumped 11.44% on bullish outlooks. The rotation into economically sensitive shares that suddenly took hold over the month came on the heels of Fed-friendly data. Small caps are typically more sensitive to higher interest rates, given their higher debt loads and weaker earnings. They do better when borrowing costs fall and the economic outlook improves. Friday's economic data was mixed, actually, as the Fed's preferred measure of underlying US inflation, the so-called Core Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, which strips out volatile food and energy items, increased 0.2% from May. From a year ago, it rose 2.6%. That's according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. Inflation-adjusted consumer spending rose 0.2%, while May's increase was revised higher. We need to keep an eye on these revisions, I think, ahead. And separately, US consumer sentiment eased in July to an eight-month low. Thursday's US macroeconomic report showed a solid 2.8% annualized gross domestic product growth in the second quarter. Core durable goods orders rose by 0.5% in June. That's the fastest since January 2024, while initial jobless claims remained relatively stable. So all of this better than expected data supported the US dollar, with the DXY last at 104.33. The rotation from big tech comes after a massive rally that drove the S&P 500 to almost 40 record highs this year alone. Investors who for months saw few alternatives to the narrow band of stock market winners were suddenly faced with choices if the Fed moves to low interest rates soon. In fact, for years, the persistent strength of the US economy suggested that the Fed wasn't doing enough to slow things down. The government's pandemic era largesse left people and businesses with plenty of cash to spend. The Biden administration's vast investments in infrastructure, semiconductors, and the green transition boosted demand. Easing financial conditions, especially a surging stock market, increased wealthier households' propensity to consume. Containing the resulting inflation, it seemed, would require sustained monetary tightening from the Fed. Indeed, until recently, Bill Dudley, who served as president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York from 2009 to 2018, was of the view that rate cuts were for later. But now he's changed his view because the Fed's efforts to cool the economy are indeed having a visible effect. So the Fed should cut when they next meet, he said. The US 2-year Treasury was at 4.387%, while the 10-year was at 4.194%, amid debates as to whether the significant bill issuance from the US Treasury was actually an attempt to move the yield curve. The Treasury increased its auction sizes from August 2023 as falling revenues, higher interest rates, and other factors widened the budget deficit. 2-year note auction sizes, for example, have risen to $69 billion from $42 billion in the middle of 2023. 10-year note auctions have grown to $42 billion from $35 billion. But in May, the Treasury said that it does not expect to increase most auction sizes for at least the next several quarters, and analysts say it should be well funded until May next year. Uncertainty over the November US elections will also likely keep any large debt changes on hold, at least for now. Oil is caught between the downdraft from tech falls, concerns over US crude oil inventories, which have depleted faster than normal over the last 4 weeks, and demand, which is weak from China. Brent crude was last at $80.51, while WTI was at $76.44, both lower again over the week. Gold was higher on Friday, having reacted to traders lifting the interest rate cut expectations from the Federal Reserve in September. The futures contract was last at 1.37% to $2,385.80. In Europe, markets were up after recent falls across the week. The DAX rose 0.65% on Friday, the CAC 40 in France was at 1.22%, and the FTSE in London was at 1.21%. Economic data across Europe remains mixed, though. A September interest rate cut by the European Central Bank is still very possible, although its future policy will remain data dependent. A former deputy governor of the Irish Central Bank said Stephen Garlick, deputy governor at the Central Bank of Ireland between 2011 and 2015, said he expected Eurozone inflation pressures to abate further, which, along with a natural weakness in economic activity, will allow the ECB to continue reducing rates. The likelihood of a rate cut in September is material, he said. He's currently the chief economist at the EFG Bank in Zurich. Money markets have priced in a 64% odds of a 25 basis point rate cut by the ECB when it meets next on September the 12th, which will be its second this year. And traders see a less than 10% chance of a third easing by the ECB in 2024. Britain's new finance minister, Rachel Reeves, is expecting to reveal a £20 billion shortfall in the public finances, potentially paving the way for tax rises in the next budget. The figure is not final and could still change before Reeves sets out an assessment of the public finances on Monday. Reeves, who became the Chancellor of the Exchequer after Labour's thumping election victory this month, although one third of the overall votes, had pledged not to increase income tax, national insurance, corporations tax, or sales tax, which is known as VAT. A spokesperson for the Finance Ministry did not comment on these reports, but said the Chancellor has commissioned officials to provide an assessment of the state of the government's spending inheritance, which will be presented to Parliament before the summer recess. But of course, they will always cry foul of the previous government and then give that as a reason for doing things that may be different from what they said they were going to do. We will see. And elsewhere, Britain's competition regulator said on Friday that the country's drivers are still paying too much for road fuel, which increases retail fuel margins, and that cost them about £1.6 billion in 2023. The Competition and Markets Authority said an analysis showed that the cost to drivers of weakened competition in the fuel sector persisted, and that margins were still significantly above historic levels. It said supermarkets' fuel margins had roughly doubled from 2019. Now, most Asian stocks rose on Friday as heavyweight technology shares steadied from several sessions of steep declines, although regional indices were still set for deep weekly losses. South Korea's KOSPI added 0.78%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 0.1%, and Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 0.65%, with all three down between 1.8% and 5.2% across the week, and with the Nikkei seeing the worst declines. The Japanese stock markets were the worst performers in Asia, actually, with growing uncertainty before a Bank of Japan meeting next week, which added to selling pressure. The Nikkei and the broader topics both sank over 5% across the week, and the yen was last at 153.77 against the US dollar. Middling consumer price index data for Tokyo added to this uncertainty on Friday. The reading showed a core gauge of underlying inflation fell sharply in July, which could give the Bank of Japan less headroom to hike interest rates, and markets are largely split over whether the Bank of Japan will hike rates by just 10 basis points or not next week. Among broader Asian markets, Chinese stocks continue to lag their peers, with the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and the Shanghai Composite Indices both rising slightly but remaining at five-month lows. The two indices were also down between 3 and 4% this week, having taken little support from the surprise interest rate cuts from the People's Bank. Last week, data showed that China's economy grew much slower than expected in the second quarter as a persistent property downturn squeezed domestic demand. China's economy grew 4.7% in the April to June period, missing expectations of 5.1%. In India, India's Nifty 50 rose 1.82%, although we saw some measure of profit-taking this week as investors reacted negatively to an increase in India's capital gains tax rate under the 2024 Union Budget. Still, the Nifty retains the bulk of gains made through July, where they hit a series of record highs on optimism over Indian economic growth. The Australian share market advanced on Friday after a rally in commodity stocks helped recoup some of its losses from earlier in the week. The benchmark ASX 200 rose 0.8% to 7,921 at the closing bell, with 10 out of the 11 sectors in the green. The All Ords added 0.7%. It follows a 1% slump on Thursday, which was the most in 6 weeks, triggered by lower commodity prices and heavy selling on Wall Street. Over the week, the ASX 200 lost 0.6%. The material sector was among the best performers on Friday, rallying 1.4%. Index heavyweight BHP added 2.2% to $42.10, and Fortescue Metals rose 1% to $20.35. Iron ore futures on the Singapore Exchange was up 2.2% on Friday afternoon after the steelmaking ingredient had dropped overnight. Mineral resources also jumped 3.5% to $53.67 after the mining company said that it was on track to meet its output guidance for the financial year 24, with production volumes at 9% year over year to 269 metric tons. Energy stocks also finished in the green, with shares of Ampol up 1.5% to $33, while Santos increased 1.2% to $7.74. Elsewhere on the ASX, 9 shares dropped 1.1% after publishing staff voted to strike on the eve of the Paris Olympics. From 11 a.m. on Friday, the bulk of the workforce at the Australian Financial Review, the Sydney Morning Herald, and The Age walked off the job after rejecting the latest pay offer from management. And Bellevue Gold shares plunged 21.6% to $1.435 after the Western Australian-based gold producer completed a $150 million institutional placement at a 15.3% discount to its closing share price on Wednesday. The Australian dollar fell in its longest stretch of losses in almost a year as concerns about China's economic recovery continued to weigh on the currency and commodity prices. The Aussie, which has been rallying on the interest rate differentials between Australia and the US, has not been immune to the latest sell-off in metal prices. It was last at 65.5 $0.49 cents. But AMP's chief economist Shane Oliver is still sticking to his forecast, thinking that the Aussie will reach 70 cents by the end of the year. This is despite lingering concerns over China's economy because of its heavily oversupplied property market, as well as a decline in demand for exports from the manufacturing powerhouse. We're a long way from the huge stimulus investors want and China used to apply in the past, Dr. Oliver said. But you will see small incremental stimulus even so, just keeping things ticking over, which probably ends up being enough to keep commodity prices relatively high and the Aussie dollar supported. Finally, Bitcoin gained some strength on Friday and was last sitting at 68,218 US. Just 4 years ago, Bitcoin was trading below 10,000 US, marking a significant turning point actually in its price history. By July 2020, after months of trading below 10,000, Bitcoin began to run up and actually reached 65,000 in April 2021. Well, it's slightly above that now, but the question is, what's ahead? Well, some see a very bright future for the coin, others less so. For now, I just say, well, I think it depends. And more broadly, we're going to see more volatility, more concerns in markets. The next move on big tech will probably be down, and the continued rotation will talk more to some of the other more laggard sectors that really haven't performed very well recently. Interestingly, in all of this, financials are doing somewhat better because, of course, the expectation is if rates are cut, that's good for the bankers. We'll see about that too. So expect more volatility, more uncertainty. And remember, we're still to face September on October, when things often go quite pear-shaped indeed. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.